Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for April 23rd, 2008, Programming Groovy.
One of the ways to make sure the code actually behaves not as I typed it, but as I expected it to work, is to start testing it. It's extremely important, I think, to develop this culture and discipline for testing when it comes to Groovy and meta programming.
That's Venkat Subramaniam, author of Programming Groovy, Dynamic Productivity for the Java Developer. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week I talked to Venkat about coding in Groovy, meta programming, and about choosing a language. Venkat's not religious at all about his choice of a language. To him, well, he's a language hobbyist. He's always trying out new languages to find the best tool for any particular job.
A language should really address problems we are trying to address, make us more productive. Long time ago, I was foolish enough to try to become an expert in C++. Picked up Java, picked up C#, picked up other languages as they came along, and then certainly got excited about language like Ruby as well. And I used to be most fanatic about static typing languages and did not have much faith in dynamic type languages. And these were days before I realized things like unit testing and so on. So once I got into languages like Ruby, I realized how productive I could be with dynamic languages. Yet, switching to a language like Ruby really meant at that time that I have to leave behind one of the key strengths that I had on hand, which is the platform, the libraries, the frameworks that I already have access to. And when I came across Groovy, I could be productive. I could take all these advantages, but I don't have to, emigrate out of the platform, the framework, and all the benefits that the current settings have. So if I'm programming in Java, and I was doing quite a bit of programming in Java at the time, I don't have to leave behind everything to take advantage of dynamic language. So one of the things that stood out for me was that Groovy brings the dynamic productivity while I could still be on the Java platform and take advantage benefits of that. And I think that is one of the remarkable qualities of Groovy. There are several things I like about the language, but one thing is that you could be doing Java programming as the platform, the word Java means in this case, and still take advantage of the dynamic capabilities and metaprogramming and so on.
Are you thinking that Groovy is ideal for a Java programmer looking to evolve, migrate, add some of the features of dynamic programming? Or does Groovy also address the needs of maybe Ruby programmers as well, people that have already made that leap?
Certainly, Ruby is a remarkable language. I really like it. However, if I really am interested in Ruby, I have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the Java, meaning my project doesn't have any dependencies on Java. My project has no real need to utilize Java frameworks, libraries, APIs, and so on. Then I don't really see a reason for me as a Ruby programmer to get interested or excited about Groovy. That is where I think JRuby really fits nicely, because JRuby can take me, the Ruby programmer, and at the same time, I can take advantage of the deployment capabilities of Java. If I'm in an organization where, if I'm getting a pushback to deploying Ruby, I could deploy it on the JVM using a JRuby kind of an interface, if you will. It also gives me the advantage of taking the performance benefits that the Java platform can bring compared to the C implementation or the MRI implementation of Ruby and so on. So I think JRuby would be a better path for a Ruby programmer who's interested in taking advantage of some of the performance and deployment benefits. I don't see specifically why I should be excited about Groovy. On the same note, if I'm already interfacing with Java, if I know Java fairly well, if I have to work constantly with Java APIs and libraries, I don't see a reason to switch over to something like JRuby. And the reason I say that is that I need to really learn a different syntax. I need to also switch over to a different semantics in programming. And I think that is a bigger jump. So for a traditional Java programmer who is interested in taking advantage of the dynamic language capabilities, Groovy is a better choice. And I think that's the beauty of these two languages, is that it serves the needs for these two types of people, our developers that I mentioned. The beauty is that you have a choice and you can pick and choose what makes sense the most for you, depending on what you're trying to do. And it doesn't have to be an exclusive either or, depending on the project you're working on, depending on your style, your particular needs and organization you work in, you have a choice to pick and choose what makes sense, I think.
So if I'm a Java programmer and I'm kind of curious about Groovy, what is my best path into Groovy and what are those language features that you said you really liked that actually would attract you in?
So the first thing about Groovy that I really like is the dynamic capabilities. You can take advantage of things like metaprogramming. You know, as a Java programmer, you probably are already familiar with things like aspect-oriented programming. And to do AOP-like things in Java is fairly difficult. You need a very significant amount of tool capability. You probably have to use something like AspectJ, or you have to use other frameworks and tools. Doing AOP in Groovy is a commonplace. There are facilities built into the language itself to give you the capabilities of AOP-like programming. So metaprogramming is one of the key strengths of Groovy. The other thing that I get excited about Groovy is, I call it a better, lighter, fancier Java. You can use your Java APIs that you already are familiar with, but you can also benefit from the lightweightedness and the capabilities of APIs extended with closures and so on. But the real beauty, I think, of Groovy, if I'm very new to Groovy, is first I could start using Groovy, but I could start writing almost the Java code that I already write. So which means that if I don't know how to do a certain things, that's not a roadblock. I can switch over and start writing the Java code I'm familiar with. And as I pick up more of the Groovy idioms, I can refactor my code into more of a Groovier code. And so that's a nice flat learning curve. That's one big advantage, I think.
There seem to be layers of Groovy. So there's the syntactic sugar. You can leave certain things out. And then there's the typing issues where you don't have to worry about the typing as you do in Java. And then there's meta programming. So it seems like there's these three layers of entry levels into this way of thinking. How do you take people into that?
You're absolutely right that the syntax sugar and so on and the eye candies are really nice. But once you go past that, what you quickly realize is it's not just the syntax sugar, but the benefits that the API brings in. So the GDK, which sits on top of JDK, really helps you to write code using things like closures and so on, and also a higher level of abstraction that Groovy brings to the table. You tend to write a lot lesser code in Groovy. So it's not just code that looks more elegant. It is actually literally lesser code that you have to type. And also things like not only issues with typing or benefits with typing, it's where Groovy doesn't adamantly require you to catch exceptions that you don't care about. So you can seamlessly propagate that up, and that reduces the code noise as well. And the other thing that I really like about Groovy is not the fact that it is fully dynamically typed. It is optionally typed. So you could be coding with no typing, and the type gets inferred in the code, or you can switch over to give types where it makes more sense. So you have a nice balance between a full dynamic typing versus full static typing, and you can play this happy medium where you decide based on what you're trying to do. Once you get through those, I think then you begin to take advantage of metaprogramming. And the beauty of metaprogramming is, it's not that you have to start taking full advantage of metaprogramming by using full AOP and so on. There are builders available already in Groovy, and the builders give you the capability to, again, write a lot less code to get things done. And while you start using them, you begin to realize the strengths of metaprogramming and the ability to write domain-specific languages or DSLs. So you can kind of ease into these concepts. And then once you get comfortable with these, you can then push further to take advantage of these in your applications by creating these into your own applications. So kind of going from the point of view of using these concepts to creating your own kind of implementations in your language. So I think it gives you a nice path into easing into the capabilities without being overwhelmed by a different paradigm. I think that is a certain advantage I think it gives you in terms of getting into the newer language, but not being overwhelmed by it at the same time.
Can you say more about these builders? That there are certain pre-built builders, and then you can also inherit and create your own.
One of my favorite examples is builders for XML. Nobody wants to really sit down and write code that spits out XML. That's boring. That's tedious. It doesn't get excited. We don't get excited at all doing that. But the real nice thing about Groovy builders, like, for example, the markup builder, is that you are writing a very lightweight syntax, a very expressive syntax, and you would end up writing code that spits out XML, but nowhere did you really say, here's the pointy syntax, here's the angle brackets that you want to create, and so on. It becomes a lot more easier, so you can focus more on your domain and problem you're trying to solve than the and syntax and the structure of the document. That kind of becomes implicit into your document. And the beauty of that is it drives off of a context. And context is one of the essence of DSLs, is that depending on the context, it resolves a certain things and understands it. And so that's an example of a builder. And similarly, there are builders for various other things, like, for example, creating swing applications and so on, and working with DOM structure. And so there's quite a few number of builders available within the language itself, or within the APIs itself, if you will, or libraries built into Groovy. And once you get comfortable with those, then you realize that there are actually builders available to build other builders, if you will. And so that gives you a nice way of implementing a factory-based approach where you can pretty much sit there and say, well, here are the kind of the vocabulary of my builder or the DSL, and so go off and create these for me. So you don't have to get into your hands and knees and do all the work yourself. There are APIs and libraries available in Groovy to build that for you. And then once you get comfortable with that, and if your need goes beyond the capabilities of those provided, then you can switch over to metaprogramming and you can start building your own DSL from ground up. So again, that's where I think the language is really nice in that it gives you this gradual path where you can begin to enjoy what's already there, begin to use the facilities provided for building on top of it, and then go all the way to building your own stuff. And it's not a zero or all or nothing proposition. You can kind of ease into it and take advantage of it along the way. And I think that is something that developers will quickly begin to realize and benefit from.
Something like a third of your book is on metaprogramming. For Java programmers, how do you think, this is something that could be fixed with metaprogramming? Because people that like metaprogramming see it as the hammer for every nail.
Right. It certainly is more of a design issue in an application than anything else. But if you think about AOP, AOP is actually an extremely elegant concept. One of the reasons why AOP is so hard in application development is that beautiful concept is extremely hard to realize in Java. And think about object-oriented programming. If you step back for a minute, object-oriented programming was introduced in 1967. Most of the developers that you can come across, not all of them, but most of them, got excited about it in late 80s and so on. So it took more than 20 years for the software development community to get excited about object-oriented programming. And if you ask, why is that the case? And the reason is that even though object-oriented programming, as we know today, is an extremely convenient way of modeling a system and has a lot of benefits, it took us more than 20 years to realize it because we did not have good enough tools and languages that a mainstream programmer can pick up and use. I would draw a very similar analogy to AOP. AOP is extremely powerful, but we haven't had really a good way to use it within the traditional languages like Java and C++ and C# and so on. And Groovy kind of opens the door and says, hey, you can, being in your own Java platform, very conveniently take advantage of these metaprogramming and aspects capabilities. So that brings the ease of development, and I think as a result, it is going to change our mindset. It is not some concept that is extremely difficult to achieve. Now, obviously, we could argue that using objects for everything is not a good thing to do. So certainly you can look at object-oriented programs and claim certain things were not really done properly in an object-oriented way. It was overuse of abstraction, overuse of hierarchy, and so on. And the same thing can happen with aspects also, which is kind of what you're hinting at. But that is more of a design issue where people find that it's very easy to realize it, but then we should still use our wisdom to realize and understand when it applies and what kind of problems can be solved with it. What I realize with metaprogramming is that it makes simple things simpler and hard things possible, as a famous quote goes. And so you don't have to struggle a lot to implement concepts. So it brings agility to you. And the way it does that is that if you have some really nice idea, you can try it out quite easily and then see if it makes sense, if it applies. And then if it does, you can go on with it. If not, you can either refactor it or redesign it. And so it makes it extremely viable to try some of these very nice design concepts and take advantage of it, rather than making it extremely hard and you know, difficult to realize an application. So I think that is the benefit of it. More than overuse or abuse, which can happen for anything and everything, I think, is that it makes it really easy for us to try these concepts and validate our design and see if it makes sense.
It's a bit scary, though, to, you know, Java programmers who depend on type safety and all that, because all of a sudden, metaprogramming means that you can change the behavior of objects, and so that I'm programming against it, and do I know that you over there have changed the behavior, the meaning of the contract with these objects? So does it affect the way teams work, because we have to be aware of what each other is doing?
The two words that I kind of want to emphasize, and before we discuss this further, is the two S words, the word safety and the word scary. Those two are important for us to keep in mind. Type safety, the word safe in safety, is a bit misleading. The word safe kind of gives us a comfort. We feel good about it when we hear it. But dynamic typing is oftentimes confused with weak typing. I don't think they are the same at all. Strongly typed languages like Java tend to be statically typed. At the same time, languages like C++, which are statically typed, really are not strongly typed at all, because you could cast things to in appropriate type. And what does C++ do? It doesn't do anything. It lets you go through. And if you are lucky, your program crashes on your computer. If you're not so lucky, it waits until the day that you do the important demo to crash on you. So right there is an example of a strongly typed language versus a weakly typed language, both of those being statically typed. Groovy, on the other hand, just like Ruby is, dynamically typed, but it's also strongly typed. Strongly typed and statically typed and dynamically typed and strongly typed. So it's not weak typing at all. So at the runtime, you're going to be caught in both cases. Just like Java can give you class cast exception, Groovy is going to give you class cast exception. Now, of course, the question then is, hey, two things. One is, you know, it's scary to know that I will get by things that a compiler would have caught me. And also, it's scary to think about things that could change behind the scene in ways that I don't realize they are changing. To address the first question, those of us who program for a while quickly realize that a compiler doesn't catch all the problems. It may catch a number of problems, but it certainly doesn't catch all the problems. One of the ways to make sure the code actually behaves not as I typed it, but as I expected it to work, is to start testing it. So one of the ways to address the scare or the fear is to adopt to unit testing. And it's extremely important, I think, to develop this culture and discipline for testing when it comes to Groovy and metaprogramming. I think it's a roadkill if somebody doesn't practice test-driven development or even unit testing and then jumps into metaprogramming. But once you do that, you realize that you're able to test your behavior in the application and do this. The second thing to do, I think, in metaprogramming, is not to simply go around and hack your code in all different places. That would definitely lead to more problems than solutions, I think. So metaprogramming, you know, in the wise words of Uncle Ben, with power comes responsibility. The way that we need to approach metaprogramming is to develop a certain discipline where you do have places where you inject behavior into code, places where you synthesize behavior into code. And if you follow a certain discipline, then you can sit down and understand the behavior in the code by looking at various different places. But on the other hand, if people just start adding methods in arbitrary methods around your application, then, of course, there is no way to know where things are going on, and pretty quickly you realize that it's very difficult to understand what the application is doing. So it's a quite a disciplined process. So the two discipline that I highly recommend that people follow is, one is the discipline to testing, unit testing approach, and the other discipline is to come up with a fairly good design as to where method injection and method synthesis can happen, and then model the system so you know clearly where to go look at things and understand. And so if fairly designed well, I think this can be extremely powerful. The famous analogy that you keep hearing about this is, you know, the chainsaw is a lot more powerful, but we got to have a certain discipline in how we use it also. So we cannot ban chainsaws from the world saying, oh, people could get hurt with it. We just need to take the time to learn how to use it. And I think that's what we have on hand is something extremely powerful, but we need to have a certain amount of discipline and approach to benefiting from it.
Certain people shouldn't operate chainsaws, and certain people should. Is it the same true about not necessarily Groovy, but metaprogramming within Groovy?
I would actually remove the word meta, and I would use the word programming for it. I think certain people shouldn't be doing programming at all, because these are disciplines that certainly are extremely required for using metaprogramming, but that doesn't mean that somebody who is using a hammer and nail doesn't need any discipline. You know, somebody could lose their fingers trying to use a hammer and nail as well. I think disciplines like this are extremely useful from programming perspective, I think. And one thing I've noticed is when I switch between languages, you know, I do program quite a bit, even today, in languages like C++, Java, C#, Ruby, Groovy, playing with other languages like Erlang and so on. And certainly, I would say some of the techniques and discipline I've gained over the years is something I apply quite a bit for all these languages. It's not like I drop off all my discipline when I move into a more of a traditional or a statically typed language, and then I wear on more of a safety net and safety helmet when I get into these dynamic languages. That's not true, I think. It's about the same amount of discipline I carry around with programming. It's just that I know a little bit more about discipline being in these languages than I did before, but that's really helping me across the board.
That's Venkat Subramaniam, author of Programming Groovy, Dynamic Productivity for the Java Developer, on the Pragmatic Podcast. For more information or to buy Venkat's book, visit pragprog.com. You'll find our podcast on pragprog.com/podcast, and you can join the discussions at forums.pragprog.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.